And so we can't stick our heads up haughty and say we're better than them. Although I feel that God's hand is on the nation right now in blessing, I do also feel that you and I have to, we can't look at them and take the position that we don't need to repent about things. I believe there are things that we need to repent about. I forget what the number is. I believe it's from 1963 or something like that. There's been 40 million babies that have been aborted in America. Well, all you got to do is look at Canada and divide that by 10, and we're in the same boat. The abortion issue is still a big thing. And, you know, our own government put forth the government whip put forth a message condemning someone who wanted to bring that up for debate again. I can't help but think our government needs prayer. Our government needs prayer if they're comfortable with the status quo, that it's okay to abort babies, to kill babies in their mother's womb. I believe that the government needs prayer. We need to be praying that the God will give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation and a knowledge of Jesus Christ and knowledge of life itself, so that we will have the protection of God upon our nation. And I tell you, folks, we can say, oh, yes, but in the midst of all this, although judgment may come, I'm safe in the Lord. Well, in one sense, we are. But in another sense, we have a responsibility for the nation. We have been given the privilege to live in this nation. We have a responsibility to pray and to believe and ask God to send men and women to our place of government who will honor His kingdom. You and I have a responsibility. And if we don't take our responsibility, then maybe some things that's going to happen within the land might influence us as well. It certainly did in the nation of Israel. And there was some, I'm sure there were some Christians that, you know, amongst that 3,000 people. Was it 3,000 people that died in 9/11? Very interesting. This pastor, Pastor Jonathan Cain, that wrote this book, Harbinger, his church is very near Ground Zero. People that went to his church that worked at 9/11 got waylaid somehow, and they didn't make it in that day. Two people that went to his church who worked there actually made out alive. God protected them. See, we're living in a day where God is saying, I'm sending you messages to call you to repentance for the way that you have been living. I could read off a bunch of statistics that would show us the depravity of how the United States have taken the prayers out of school, how it's the largest exporter of pornography, and all that kind of stuff. I could read a whole bunch of them. And Canada is really no different. But I want us to realize that there is a call for repentance. I believe that we're living in a day we're getting very close to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I have a responsibility to realize that there is more to life than living. And what do I mean by that? I mean, there's more to life than just going out and enjoy it just exactly the way we want it and do everything we can to make sure that we have everything we need and that we are comfortable and that we are living a joy-filled life. There's more to it than that. There's this whole aspect of prayer for our nation, how we've been called to pray for our nation. God is supernaturally interwoven into the activities and destinies of nations. And I think one of the things, as this is mentioned in this book as well, and when you really stop and think about it, the United States is probably going to have more to answer than most nations on the earth. Because they are one of the very few nations that, they took the very thought of establishing a nation that would serve God. And they made vows before God that this nation would serve God. And they have more prosperity than any nation in the world, really, for that size. It's amazing. When you look at the differences in other countries, you'll see the prosperity that has come. But yet, so many have turned from God in the midst of that. So we're in a place of God calling us to repentance. And the reason why I'm sharing these things with you this morning is because I want us to realize that God is interwoven. God is a supernatural God. He's interwoven into our lives and into the lives of nations. There's so many ways that He's interwoven into our lives. And that's why putting a foundation down deep in your own spiritual life that will cause you to be able to stand firm when storms come. We have so much to be thankful for. I don't care what you're going through. You have so much to be thankful for. I'm telling you, sometimes I've been sick in bed with the flu or whatever it was before, and I just, you know, I couldn't even pray. It seemed that I need somebody else to pray for me, but this thought often come into my head. Thank God I'm not in Afghanistan. If I was taken to a hospital there, what would it be like? What would they give you? They probably wouldn't have anything to give you. Probably couldn't even get there. Sometimes when we need medical assistance, you know, thank God that we live in a nation where we can get it. We have so much to be thankful for. And right now, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care where you're at in life. I want you to realize that God is interwoven into your life. Your life. This wonderful story I heard recently about a young man who lived in the streets. And he was homeless. He was homeless from a very young age. And his father left him, who was in a gang. His father was in a gang and left him when he was 3 years old. And his mother was shot dead before his very eyes when he was 8 years old. And he went to foster's home, but he was so mixed up, no foster home could keep him. He was on the streets for years and years. Got into drugs and a gang and all the rest of it. The reason why he took the drugs and the alcohol and all the rest of it was to stop the pain. He said he really didn't care that much for it, but it was the pain in his life. He didn't care about anybody and anything. He was in jail for a while and he got out and he just realized, I'm going nowhere. I don't know what to do. God, if you're real, then come do something with me. And as the story goes, he was walking along the street one day in the city and he came to this, it was kind of an outreach. It was a church, but it was an outreach to church, to street people and so forth, down and outers. And he went in. He asked, who's in charge here? Who's the boss? And there was a couple guys up there. So, okay, we'll take you to the pastor. He's in the back. And so he went back in there, and there he was sitting in his office, and he went in there and started talking to him, and it seemed that this pastor could relate to him real good. And the boy said he was really surprised how he knew about the kind of life that he was going through. To make a long story short, he was led to Christ and find out that the pastor that he went in to see that led him to Christ was his father, who left him when he was 3 years old. His father had been in jail and gotten saved, and God put on his heart to start this mission and so forth. See, the interweaving actions of God throughout a person's life are so real if we'll trust and believe God for it. No matter what it is you're believing for today, God is working in the midst of it. In the midst of your life, in the little details, because he knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to take place in the end. So that's why you and I can rejoice every single day, no matter whether we're in trials and tribulations and so forth. The Bible says to rejoice in all these things. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, when you fall into different kinds of persecutions and temptations. And it might be praying for something, the Lord, it doesn't seem like you're hearing my prayer. God says, count it all joy, even in the midst of that. Count it all joy when it doesn't seem like you're answering my prayer. Count it all joy when you're going through all kinds of trials and tribulations. Count it all joy when you're praying for somebody, a loved one, that you want to see make a shift. In the midst of your praying, count it all joy, because God is a deliverer, and he wants to deliver you from whatever you're afflicted with. And you may have opened the door to the devil that allowed him to come in and bring affliction to you on your body, on your mind, in your soul realm. You may have opened the door to it. And in God's eyes, you are guilty. But Jesus comes in and he says, look, I want to take your guilt. I want to pay the price for your sin. I want to pay the price for you opening the door to the devil. And if you'll come to me, I will wipe away that, close the door to the devil, shut him off from your life so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. He's the only one that can do that. No other avenue that man can present can deliver you from the kingdom of darkness and bring you into the kingdom of God's own Son. And if we are delivered into the kingdom of God's own Son, then praise God, we're subjects of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's our Lord. He's the one. You know one of the jobs of a king is when it comes to his kingdom? Is to protect his subjects. And we have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as the King. Amen. And He will protect us. He will bring us into a place where we will be the most joyful, fulfilled, happy that life could bring us. Now, I never said without trial and tribulation. Please don't get that confused. The Apostle Paul said, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. We haven't been planted here, put here to simply expect nothing but joy and a bed of roses. God wants to take those things just like He wants to do with 9/11 when those towers came down. He wants to take that situation, turn it around, bring it as a warning to America and say, repent, please. I'm coming again. And I want to find the people who are serving me. I want to find the people who have turned away from their idols of greed and money and all these other things. From self, it's turn away from self. So many demonic manifestations are rising up today by the spirit of the world that says that we have everything in us, in ourselves, to deal with the issues of life. That's the first place that we have to come to, you and I, that we can't do it on our own. Some people, it's amazing, some people are in an absolute mess and they're still trying to get out of it in their own strength, but yet it's their own strength that got them in the mess in the first place. We so need to rely on God. We so need to rely on Him. We so need to be thankful for His goodness. We so need to rest in His presence and say, God, no matter what situation I'm in, Lord, no matter what I'm dealing with right now, no matter what it is, I'm resting in You, Lord. I'm resting in Your goodness. I'm resting because of Your love for me. I choose to rest in You, God, no matter what it is. Because I know You know the end from the beginning of my life. You have it all laid out, and I'm trusting and resting in You that it's all going to come to pass according to the will of the Lord. Brett, you have a word?
After we had finished worshiping this morning, I wrote down the picture that God had shown me, and it was of just being... just worshiping God, just kind of like falling down at His feet and just sitting before Him, and He would come up to us with a pitcher of water and pour water over our heads, and He's cleansing us of things. Now, for myself, the word futility came, and that could be for someone in here, but it could also be something else. But I think what God was saying in that picture was that now that you're being washed of what's been hindering you, it may come back to whisper to you or to make you think that you have it again, but it's not there. You're being cleansed of it and you're being delivered from it. And so whenever the thoughts come back that is still, that you're still in that situation or you're still daunted by that, that you have to declare that you've been set free today. In Jesus' name.
Amen. In 1963, prayer was removed from the schools in yet another attempt to rid America of any reference to God. President Ronald Reagan recognized the danger of this act when he said, "Our Pledge of Allegiance states that we are one nation under God, and our currency bears the motto, 'In God we trust.' The morality and values such faith implies are deeply embedded in our national character. Our country embraces those principles by design, and we abandon them at our peril. Yet, in recent years, Americans have, for the sake of religious tolerance, forbidden religious practice in the classrooms. The law of this land has effectively removed prayer from our classrooms. How can we hope to retain our freedom through the generations if we fail to teach our young that our liberty springs from an abiding faith in our Creator?"
That can mean much the same in Canada as in the United States. I want to leave us with this morning. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, don't try to bypass an opportunity to repent. An opportunity to say, "Lord, search my heart. Search my heart, God. Know my heart within. Point out the wicked ways in me, Lord, that I might lay them before You. Don't let me become haughty, God.
and demand things from you when you're trying to teach me a lesson in the process.
Geraldine has gotten a word this week that she's going to read to us. You know, the scriptures talk about when we come together, that, you know, someone should have a revelation, a word, a tongue, an interpretation, a vision, a dream, or things to share. Geraldine, come on up. And Geraldine's going to share, but she felt the Lord speak to her this week.
Good morning. This is, I was in the middle of making a cake. And right in the middle, and that, I love that about the Lord. You know, you're not really thinking about it. That's how you know it's Him, because, I mean, it's the last thing you're thinking of. You're thinking about how much eggs you're going to put in this batter, and all of a sudden you get these words that are dropped into your spirit, and I knew that it was from the Lord. So I'm like, hang on, Lord, I'll go get a pen. So I ran, and this is what came out. I'm about to take you to uncharted territory, and it will require change. You must press more into my word, for it's life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. It's a lamp that will light your path. Trust and faith are key elements as you move forward towards this new course. The ride will be exhilarating and exciting, yet challenging, for you have to lose yourself to find me in fullness. The fullness of all things is upon you. This new move will require action. No longer can you sit and be spectators. It's a life of sacrifice, but the rewards will outweigh any inconvenience. Launch out into the deep and keep your focus upon me. You are the generation that I have chosen to witness the final chapters of this church age. For behold, I come swiftly. Be rooted and grounded in me, and the world will truly see the glory of God upon you, which is the hope for this world. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Evangelize, teach, and preach my word.
Just let that settle deep down in your spirit for a moment. One of the key things that were said there was that God is going to show the world the glory that is in us. So, Father, we thank you, God, for your glory upon us right now. We receive your word, Father, and we thank you, Father, for the encouragement that your word brings, that your word truly is life. We praise you for it. We receive every word from you, Father. We just receive it now in the name of Jesus.